Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update from New York City and Podcast House. I have some great guests with me today, and it's a wonderful, wonderful morning. I've got Alex Kidwell here. How you doing, Alex?
Woo!
Also joined by Matt Liguori. How you doing, Matt?
Very good. Very happy to have Alex here.
Yes, we're sharing one microphone, so this is going to be a lot of fun. Somebody can man the chat for me, actually. That's nice. So we're here to talk to you about the Big Brother 19 live feeds and tell you everything that's been happening yesterday. There wasn't a whole lot. There was some practicing. There was some talking, but mostly just, when there's an eviction that's just not going to happen, there's really not a whole lot to talk about. So get prepared for the halting hex to rise. Yes. All right. I did forget to take my notes out of my pocket because they're on my phone right now. So we start off the day with Mark and Jason. They played some chess. Well, they didn't actually play some chess because Mark never actually plays chess when he fake plays chess. But they were talking, and Jason has been doing a really good job. I've been taking note of it. His relationship with Mark has been some good work on his part. And he really tried to steer Mark away from targeting Alex and toward targeting Matt and Raven, which I'm really liking from Jason because it very, very much benefits him if he gets that to work. He also planted some anti-Paul seeds. Like, you know, what I think about Paul is that he's pretty smart and he could win this game. So really liking what Jason is doing. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, Whistlenut coming around slowly but surely. I think there's a few people now that are starting to catch on to Paul. I think the house is somewhat ripe for the kind of gradual shift that maybe we saw last year, where it was like everyone's following Paulie, and then all of a sudden there's one little kind of trick in the armor, and then like people scatter. You know, it's like power is a trick, and once you lose it, it's gone very quickly.
Yes, could Jason be our Natalie this season? Who knows? They also got a golf course thing to practice on for the HOH. No, I'm not going to highlight that comment. The HOH is going to be this sort of like golf thing. You got to, you know, hit the ball into the hole or whatever. And this is kind of a crapshoot competition, not in Jessica and Cody's favor because they're outnumbered. They also didn't do particularly well. It seemed like Raven actually did the best. So what would be in for with a Raven HOH, Matt?
Not anything that any of us want, but this kind of competition can really be won by anybody. I don't know if I'm supposed to hold it or if you're holding it. All right, well, here we go. This is the competition that Jordan Lloyd won in Big Brother 13. So if you want an idea of who can win this competition, literally anybody can win this competition. So Jordan won it, and then last season Shane won it in the Big Brother Over the Top Veto competition. So it could be anybody, any competition level, skills level. Hopefully we don't get the Raven HOH because I don't think anybody wants to see that. But
Raven's mom does.
Okay.
Okay, so they practiced that, Jessica and Cody rightfully kind of, well, not rightfully, because this is Big Brother, but they are kind of annoyed because this HOH is not going to play to their strengths, and they're right. I mean, it's not looking great for Jess and Cody. However, you know, the history of Big Brother is the underdog will always win the HOH, except for in Big Brother 16. So, next up, we had Jess and Cody talking a little bit more. They are planning for their strategy for next week in terms of the temptation competition. They said they definitely want to play and that hopefully one of them wins. And then if they feel like one of them is going to win, then the other one can throw it to have a guaranteed shot at the veto, which is essentially what we said they should have done this week. But they decided to try and trick Paul by not telling him anything and not playing in any competitions. So they finally caught on to the correct strategy, which is try to get safety and try to get Paul out. So it's only about like 5 weeks too late, but They've got some shots, right, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, there's some time, and there's some ways that this could happen. I mean, what they really just need is Cody or Jessica or even Elena or Mark at this point, I think, to win HOH and give them just a little bit of breathing room and room to operate. I mean, I think there are several scenarios that could play out tonight that would leave Paul in a position where he really has to do some scrambling.
Yes, we will be live tonight in New York. That's why we're here. We'll be talking with Eric Stein and Johnny Mack. I think that we might get some cheers from the crowd if Justin or Cody wins this HOH, right, Matt?
Absolutely. You want the underdog to win, and Justin and Cody are the only ones in the house right now that are at the bottom of the totem pole. That's the only way that we're going to get an exciting week and not Paul telling his minions whatever he wants them to do.
All right. We also had a little bit more talk about Christmas. When we talked about her on the roundtable, we just said, like, she's such an uneven player. And she really is, because she continues, like, people just continue to say, like, you know, Christmas just really annoys me. She's so abrasive. We just don't like Christmas. She's just too cranky, like House. They totally said that on the feeds, because they totally approve of my, look, we got Eric Stein in the chat. why aren't you here, Eric Stein? Why aren't you updating us on the live feed?
Yeah, man, you should have come over and brought breakfast.
Like, yeah, we are pretty hungry. All right, so Christmas, yeah, she's in a bit of trouble here. Like, nobody really likes her in the Alliance. Luckily, we have a lot of people targeting Matt and Raven ahead of her, or at least luckily for her. She does sort of have Josh on her side. Josh is, like, the one person that's not annoyed with Christmas, and that's probably because Josh is, like, the one person that's more annoying than Christmas to a lot of people. So, yes, get us some breakfast, Eric. All right. We also had Paul starting to plant some seeds about getting rid of Mark before Elena. don't be right clicking. Mark, he wants to make sure Mark goes home because he feels like finally, and again, like, this is Paul, where last week Paul was talking about getting rid of Elena before Mark. Paul has also finally come around to the understanding that, yes, we should definitely get rid of Mark first. I have more control over Elena. If we get rid of Elena, then Mark will just go running straight back to Jess and Cody. Matt, how do you feel about this plan?
Mark is definitely the one that's more likely to go with the Jess and Cody side. And Paul's 100% right that they can bring Elena in. Elena's already separated her game from Mark as much as possible. So Mark winning HOH is not good for the Paul side. But if he does win HOH, it'll definitely be an interesting week to see what he decides to do.
Yes, and we also had Jason kind of playing the other side of things, because as I mentioned, Jason has a pretty good working relationship with Mark. Jason, I think, would prefer to see Elena go first, and interestingly enough, Josh also would prefer to see Elena go first, despite how beautiful he thinks she is. We might have a Delilah situation on our hands, I don't know. But that's the sort of internal conflict right now, and this is still only a backup plan. They still plan on getting Jess and Cody out first if they can, but of course, there's a lot of safety and immunity to be played next week, so they need to have these backup plans in the works. Alex continuing to right click instead of a left click. We also had Christmas. Like I said, Christmas and Josh, they have this good connection. They sort of reaffirmed their bond yesterday. They talked about how close they are. Josh said again to Christmas, "You are my number one. I don't care about anyone else. We are loyal to Paul, and we're going to show Paul that we're loyal. He's going to take us to the end, and that's going to be great." And they're both okay with that. They both trust Paul. There's very much three groups in this big alliance, where it's like Matt, Raven, and Paul, Christmas, Josh, and Paul, and Alex, Jason, and Kevin, and Paul. And all three of those groups want Paul in their group, and then it's just a matter of, like, who do they want in their final five as well. And for Josh and Christmas, they said yesterday they want Jason and Kevin. Love those guys. They're in, even in that final five. I love it. They're not super happy with Matt and Raven. Raven has been annoying some people. They were pretty annoyed with how Raven handled the whole situation with Jessica. They feel like Raven took it a step too far. This coming from Christmas, who wanted to question his military experience. But they feel like she took it a little too personally. And they were kind of annoyed with that. Alex, how do you feel about this Christmas and Josh relationship?
I mean, they're definitely very close. I feel like there's a lot of times where, you know, it's hard to necessarily say if something Christmas is saying is predictory in any way, because you might just be able to chalk it up to drugs still, but they're very close. That seems like a bond that really developed quickly to a degree that, like, I don't think that's going to be inseparable moving forward.
Yes. And, you know, I feel like this is a great, again, like, Christmas's secret weapon has sort of always been Josh. He was the swing vote in many ways, was one of the swing votes to keep her in the house. And this is also a relationship that a lot of people aren't seeing in the house. They're not really understanding how close Josh is with Christmas. They see him as Paul's puppet, not Christmas's puppet, which I think will give Christmas a lot of leeway moving forward. Nikki did ask, this group of eight will break apart before eight. right? Absolutely. There's four people to go through. I think they're probably going to want to take Jess and Cody out first if they can. But if they can't, here's the thing. If Jess and Cody get immunity, maybe they take out Mark, and then the next week there's more immunity. We could easily see them start to turn on each other faster than they may be anticipating. Luckily for Paul, he seems to be pretty well insulated in terms of that. But I think Matt and Raven are starting to get on people's radar. He really needs to start playing if he wants to maintain any sort of safety, right, Matt?
I think once Cody is gone again, the game is going to completely open back up, because just like it did when Cody was gone the first time and Jessica kind of reintegrated with the house, I think that literally anything could happen once they get rid of Cody again, and if they do, whether it's Mark, Elena, Jessica, any of them could come back into the group, and then new targets will emerge once Cody's out of the way.
Yes, so we have a lot of planning for next week. We'll see what happens. It seems as though chances are that big group of people, they're going to win HOH. They're going to target Jessica and Cody. One of them is probably going to go home. And if that doesn't happen, we'll probably see Mark go home. But if Jess or Cody or even Mark wins this HOH, we could see a very interesting result. As I mentioned yesterday, Paul has been sort of planning on potentially being put up next to Raven. Matt and Raven were actually talking with Paul, and they were like, hey, I feel like they should put you up against Raven if they want to send you home. And Paul was like, wouldn't they put me up against Alex? And they were like, no, Raven, you'll totally go home against Raven. It's like, oh yeah, totally, I will. Good thing that you think that, I guess. Alex, do you see any chance that Paul goes home next week?
I think it's possible. I just think you have to catch him. I mean, you'd have to put him in the position we've talked about a little bit now, where he's forced to promise both sides things. I mean, we talk about he's juggling, you know, three subgroups within this jury alliance or whatever the hell. So if he's, you know, forced to show his cards, that's when things are going to unravel for him. The problem right now, the reason he's able to keep everything together is because nobody's able to compare his stories. He's not giving anyone anything that could get to someone else and make them lose their loyalty and credibility in Paul. So if you put him in a position where he's on the block against a close ally who has a lot of people, or, you know, a Raven and Alex are up there, but with like a Paul backdoor plan in the back of your head, I mean, you know, you really kind of put him in a position where he has to start making promises that he can't keep to everyone. And that's when he's going to find himself in trouble.
I think what's interesting about Paul's position right now is that last season, when he was part of PP and he ultimately turns on Pauly, the thing that he's most upset about, stop right clicking. The thing that he's most upset about is that Pauly has all of these different subgroups that he's a part of. And that's what he calls Pauly out on when he flips on him. Paul being the person that ultimately ends Pauly's reign in many ways. And he cites the reason as, dude, you lied to all of us. You had a group with Nicole and Corey. You had a group with me and Victor. You had the executives. You had all these people. You had Zakiya. Like, what's, dude, that was too much. You lied. No, you're done. And now he's in the exact same position. And we've got people who Paul trusts, like Jason, who might, and Kevin especially, who are probably on to what Paul's doing and might be in the Paul position taking out Pauly very soon. We'll see what happens. We also had Alex talking with Kevin. This was an interesting exchange here. She tells Kevin that Mark had told her that Kevin was the vote against Jillian, and that Kevin is shady, and that Mark is this bad, bad, bad man. And Kevin was like, whoa, that was not me. No way, no how. I got to go confront Mark. He talks to Paul. Paul's like, don't confront Mark. That's not a good idea, which is rare for Paul. But I feel like Paul, who often gives people bad advice, especially Josh, is actually gives Kevin like great advice all the time, and Kevin doesn't appreciate it at all. Kevin gets very annoyed by it. Like, Paul's like, dude, act dumb, get questions wrong in the veto competition, don't win the veto competition, don't confront people. It's like the opposite of everything that he's telling everybody else. And I appreciate it, because I like Kevin, so I think Kevin's gonna do well. Alex then talked to Paul and said, look, the only reason I told Kevin that was because I wanted to get him angry at Mark. And I don't believe that Kevin was that vote, which she previously has believed that Kevin was that vote. But she hasn't talked about getting Kevin out in a few days. So maybe we're finally starting to see Alex turn around on Kevin. He hasn't really done anything shady in a while. So, you know, I want Kevin to not have this blind spot anymore. I think that his social game is starting to work on Alex, and Paul backing it up like there's no way that, that Kevin was that vote, I think is helping a lot. So, Matt, how do you feel about Kevin and Alex?
It's amazing to me that Kevin has still managed to keep up everything that he's done under the, you know, behind the scenes. He's playing a little bit like Paul in terms of just being sneaky, not like nowhere near as crazy and messy as Paul's game has been, but just the little things that he does and the little seeds that he plants here and there. And it's just like he's watching Paul and he's getting annoyed by Paul. Like you said, it's this 53-year-old man who's being told what to do by a 24-year-old punk. And he's not loving all the advice he's getting, but he's listening. And that's the smart part about Kevin's game. But it's just crazy that he's done all of this stuff. He took the $25,000, but apparently the $25,000 walked out the door with Ramses, and that's what the entire house thinks. So nobody's questioning him. Nobody, you know, even if they think he was the vote, no one cares anymore. They just, Kevin's fine.
Yeah. Alex and Jason were studying last night in the HOH and they were going over the days and they're like, this was the day we did the team HOH and Ramses screwed us because he took that 25K and had to throw the competition. Unbelievable. Yeah, I love it. Alex, how do you feel about this group? I feel like Kevin and Jason in particular, I really love this duo. I think they're both doing really well. They're both in a really great spot. Nobody's coming for them anytime soon. They're actually, like I said, within this group, there's pairs plus Paul, and then there's this trio plus Paul, and they have the best numbers, and they have the least amount of people coming after them, which is pretty crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin and Jason, and to a lesser degree, Matt, simply because he's forced to be attached to Raven, who is kind of involving herself and stuff, they're just always going to benefit and, you know, be able to escape from potential problematic situations as long as there's these huge just cacophonic personalities in the house, just these just overbearing people that are just going to suck up all the attention and all the energy. I mean, it's very hard to remember a hinky vote from Kevin 3 weeks ago when you've got just people doing crazy stuff, attacking each other, fights like almost every day. Like in a house with personalities this big, it's always going to be a great opportunity if you're someone who's able to just stay clear of all of that. And I think that's why I'm so high on the Kevin and Jasons right now.
Yes, Nikki points out in the chat, the people who are on the outside at first are now in the best position. That that tends to happen a little bit, especially if you play your cards right. We saw Vanessa kind of do that, snake her way into the inside. And, you know, as much crap as we want to give Alex on occasion, her HOH week, despite how misguided it may have been in terms of trusting Paul too much, really, really did help her ingratiate herself with that big group. So props to them for that. So looking forward to next week, we will probably see this halting hex be used. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Jessica like mess it up, and then like it would be really great if Jessica was like halting hex dies eviction night right, wait, hold on, and then Julie's like, sorry, you didn't say it right.
That is not the password.
And then if Jessica went home because she couldn't say the rhyme right, it would be like the best moment in Big Brother history. So that would be great to watch live. So yes, looking forward to next week. We're probably going to see a majority alliance win this HOH, and we're probably not going to see too much surprise from the next. I mean, they've been planning all week because this is a dud week anyway. And again, they're playing pretty conservatively because they just need one more week until jury. So we can start to wrap this up. That's our Big Brother 19 live feed update for the day. A kind of a short one from Podcast House. Let me know if you have any further questions. Oh my God. We've got.
Come on, you meatballs, let's go. Stop playing your computer games. Come on, I want some funding.
Somebody break that pen.
Okay, all right. That's our little skit for you. All right, so thank you all for joining us. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. Before we leave this place, we'll give you another update from Podcast House. We will be live tonight from New York with Johnny Mac and Eric Stein talking about the episode. It'll be great. And of course, check out my Taryn Show episode with Ian Terry. We had a great conversation. It was a lot of fun. And I will be filling in for Rob Sesternino Sunday night, I believe after the Easter Coast airing of Big Brother. Matt, did you have something to say?
Plug his power rankings.
I got to plug my power rankings while I'm here. RobAsAWebsite.com. Go to the blog section. I did my power rankings this week with Colin Stone. Some more great guests lined up for the coming weeks, so check that out if you haven't already. Please.
He pesters me to plug that all the time. All right. So thank you all for joining us. We will see you next time.